doing this again, if I can remind you to stir your hearts, everyone can do this at the measure that the Lord will give you. We believe that you all can make impact. And you don't have to do it like Jonathan, you don't have to do it like Justin, you don't have to do it like Chad, but you'll do it as you do it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you can do something more than just invite people to a meeting. You can invite them into your lives and then incarnationally express the kingdom of God that's within your lives. That's our heart, that's our passion. And speaking of such things, we have just such great friends right here with us, and they're going to be new to you, but I want them to introduce themselves to you, and then LJ and I are going to share with you a bit. Sure. Tell us about it.
I'm LJ Evers. This is my wife, Nicole. My oldest son, we have five kids. So my son, Corbin, my second oldest, Taylor, and then a bunch of other kids that look just like their mom that are all shorter. That are running around somewhere in the building.
That's right.
I don't know where.
She dominated the gene pool, didn't she?
She did.
Thank the Lord.
That was your first comment last time we saw each other. Man, they all look just like Nicole.
Yeah,
they really do.
That's right. Awesome. So they, with their family, live in Houston. Man, Nicole is a dynamo. She was like some stud college athlete and all that, but just driven with passion for the kingdom of God and has just done some awesome things. It'd be a whole nother session just to hear from her and hear her heart. But just thank you guys for being here. We love you. They're the lead of the Houston team that's in Sharpstown down there, and he'll tell you about it. But we just love these guys because they're doing more than theory. They're doing it, and they're living among people down there. So thanks, guys. Bless you. LJ, why don't you hang with me here?
Sure.
And LJ's going to tell us a little bit about what they're doing down there. And again, I want to say something to you. This is something that's kind of new for me. I did not know how many internationals we were bringing in every year to the United States.
Yeah.
And you can correct me on this, but I saw that refugees-wise from wars and people in trouble, anywhere from 50 to 90,000 of them come a year to our country. And then there's a global green card lottery of 55,000 people that get to join a lottery, a portion per country, to move here. Because of that, we have great clusters of international people in the U.S. cities around. The nations are coming here. We love going to the nations, but praise God, they're coming here. Yep. There's a place in Detroit, I think, that has 300,000 plus Arabic people, second only, I think, to Paris, France, in the world outside the Middle East. And the signs are in Arabic, and the police cars have Arabic on them, and there's just phenomenal things happening in our cities, and the Spirit of God is causing people to migrate, to move into these places to begin to make disciples, and these are some of the guys that have caught that wave. So tell us a little bit about that, and let's just, he and I have not planned anything. We're going to freestyle here.
Sure. Where we live in the city of Houston, if you guys have that picture of the map, you want to throw that up. There's where we are in the city of Houston, there is our block, there's 24 apartment complexes. Go back one. Kind of this triangle down here in the bottom corner, that's our home. And this is a really bad map. The reason I use this one, though, the darker the color, the more people that live there. That's one dot on the map for every person that exists. And this little region down here in the bottom corner that's completely colored and solid is colored in, that's kind of where we are. There's 50,000 people in a 1 kilometer circle where we live. More than 50 different nationalities on our block. And so is Shamagon, who you guys know and have met before, he was just down there about 2 weeks ago. And he came back, and his first words to me is, I didn't know that all of the nations in the world were in Houston. And it really is that way, that we're very fortunate with the work that we're doing is not just about the city of Houston. It really is about this greater, bigger thing that God has on his heart. That's the nations,
that's
the world.
Great. Yeah, when I went down there, I got the privilege to go down there. I mean, we told you before, there's Buddhist temples, Hindu temples. They took us on a tour, mosque. I mean, it's like you've stepped into the United Nations name. I mean, it's just a crazy thing of all the nations gathered in that area.
Yeah. So we've been on site for about 3.5 years at this point. Some of the people in your church, the Ortmans, were down there with us for a while, and we've just been really fortunate. If you guys want to go back one picture, we're very blessed. This is a goofy picture of some of the people that I get to work with every day. This is our ministry team. Most of them are young people. They have just given themselves for God's purposes, and they've moved in. They live with the international population. It's uncomfortable. We're dealing with bed bugs and head lice and all of the different stuff that comes with dealing with people that come from a whole other place in the world. But they've just wholly committed themselves to it, and God has honored that. And I love the story, Jonathan, you guys were sharing. just saying, I didn't really know what to do. And what we're doing is honestly, it's really simple. Look, get in the Spirit, do what the Spirit's telling you to do, walk in obedience to that, and He'll bring the fruit to what He's doing. And we try to make it so much more complicated than that, but really at its heart, that's what we're doing.
And what you didn't do, and I'm curious, and you tell me why, you didn't go down there to plant a church. You didn't get a building, put up some flyers, and say, come here on Sunday. Why didn't you do that?
Really, kind of, for us, it wasn't that we weren't trying to do that. Right. It was more, what you guys are doing here is kind of what our desire is. You guys kind of have, there's you guys that are doing work here in El Dorado, but you guys kind of have fires that are all over the place, overseas, and and additionally, for us, it's more of a logistical issue.
Okay.
In that we have, there's no way I could even learn all the languages that are there. And so we have groups that are meeting in all these different languages. Right now we have five or six groups that are meeting in five or six different languages. And so we'll do kind of a deal like this quarterly, where we'll pull them in and do kind of a session together, but that it's got to be translated from English to Korean to Burmese to whatever other language that's going on. And so for us, it's more about how can we maximize on reaching people. And the best way for us to reach people is not to be tied to a location or a facility, but is to be tied to the presence of Jesus in people's lives.
Man, that's awesome. So you and your wife and five kids live in a massive apartment. What's the square feet of your apartment, you know?
Somewhere around 1,000 feet.
1,000 square feet. That's awesome. And they're all in there, and I was down there. It was an awesome thing. These guys have moved into different apartment complexes that they prophetically prayed, and they've been led by the Spirit into these areas so they can begin to interrelate with them. So tell us day to day, what's the plan? How do you do this?
Our team meets together and prays, and I think there's less of a plan. More of it is we have guys like you. We've tried to build a prayer network of just people that are highly committed to the kingdom.
Yes.
And that are praying for us. And I feel like we kind of stumble into ministry more than we have ministry planned out. And so we just try to make ourselves available. And then as we intentionally interact with lost people, God opens doors. And so as we're interacting with them, we're very intentional with that time, but it's not that there's this big plan. I mean, a lot of times a story from, this is about 2 weeks ago, our two of our guys, they were going out, what they had planned, they were going to go disciple a guy. He wasn't home when they got to his house. So they said, okay, let's just pray. Where does God want us to go? They prayed. God gave them an apartment number. They went to this apartment. They get there, and there's a 24-year-old college-age kid who lives there. And he says, who are you? And they said, well, we're missionaries. We're working with Keystone Project. We want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus. And he says, I've been praying for 3 days that God would send someone to my life to show me how to launch a movement with my people group. Because this guy's Burmese.
Wow.
And so he said, tell me what you're doing. Tell me how you're doing this. And so they start sharing with him kind of just what our team is doing. And this kid, you know, he's just really bought into it.
Man.
He comes to kind of our team meeting. We meet on Monday nights. He comes to our team meeting. While he's there, he has a vision. And the vision was there was a pond, and there was a single stone that God threw. It landed in the water and caused a ripple effect. And the way he interpreted that is he felt like that was the stone was these guys from our Keystone team that were teaching him the rock that he needs to throw into the water that was going to affect the people in his country. And so now he's gone back, and he's beginning to share this with his family. He's beginning to organize. Now, this is in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
But there's, again, that wasn't a planned thing.
Right.
It was just kind of us walking in the Spirit, being aware of what does He want to do in the moment.
Divine appointments.
Amen.
And being open to those.
Yeah.
So tell us about the impact. How have you made some progress? I know that Stuart and the team and you guys had a first phase. Tell me really quick about that, and then tell me what's happening right now.
Sure. So kind of the way that it's gone. We started, and there was a lot of front end work that we really needed. We needed people that were just highly committed to whatever was going to happen. And that's kind of where a lot of the Ortmans, Stuart and his family included, were there as a part of that. Because, look, we're people from Midwest United States moving into basically another country. We had no clue what we're doing. We needed to have one another so that there's body life to help you to stay encouraged as you're figuring out what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of as we moved beyond that and God began to grow and multiply disciples, what we saw is we saw multiple generations of disciples that were coming to know Jesus. If you guys want to go forward a couple pictures, I'll see if I can find one up here. Go forward one more. We'll come back to this one in a minute. This is Nare. One of the guy in the background is Xavier, one of our team leaders. Nare just came to Christ about 3 months ago, the middle of this summer. Mm. Actually, when you were down there, he came to Christ when you
really?
Were down there.
And he's what nationality?
He's Karini.
He's Karini.
One of the things we've been focusing on this year has been praying for heads of household. And for us, that's a difficult thing because none of them speak English. And so we have to do a lot of work through the younger people to reach the families. Nare was the first one in his family to come to Christ. Mm. Xavier's been discipling him, and this is just a practical work project they're doing, because part of what we believe is Jesus not only came to minister to us spiritually, but also practically. There's just stuff that we do to love other people. And so he's cleaning up our neighborhood. Xavier's working with him as they're doing this. And you go forward one more picture. This is Hannah, whom you worked with, and Memo. Yep. Memo is the one that's brown, if you couldn't figure that out. This is their ladies' leadership group of Karini people. Memo's been a believer for about a year and a half, not quite that long, a little more than a year. And in that time, she's got a network of about 80 disciples that are in her lineage. Like, many of those, she's herself led to Christ, but some of them are like multi-generational disciples. And part of what even having you come down was really helpful for us was seeing some places where, because we don't speak the language, and so once you multiply out a few generations, you kind of have to come in and check the fences.
Sure.
And that's part of what your role was. And I don't know who it was, but someone gave you a prophetic
that
word picture
that,
that's part of what you were doing. And that was hugely helpful for us, and part of what we've been working on since then.
That's awesome. So Burmese, is that where's been the greatest breakthroughs, and where do we need help?
Right now, the largest group we worked with is with the different tribes. There's five different tribes in Burma, and so the five different Burmese tribes. If you want to flip up the next slide, this is kind of where we're focused next. These are our Nepali people, Nepali and Bhutanese people, and this is kind of where we're launching into a new region of the city. We're doing this. Sam and I have kind of been in communication about some prophetic dreams and those kind of things that we've been trying to interpret. We're doing this purposely, but also cautiously, because we feel like there's some things that God's been kind of warning us on, and we need to know how to be effective. The great thing is, they're totally excited. You know, this picture on the bottom, the young boy in the green, this is the older teenage boy that's discipling him. He's teaching him how to share the gospel in word pictures, because his grandfather has never heard the gospel before, and he wanted to learn how to share the gospel with his grandfather.
Wow.
And so, like, they're excited about multiplying and about growing and about going and doing this. But there's also, we feel like God needs to really orchestrate it in a way where it's very organic and missional, and that's what is core, rather than collective in coming together.
Yeah, that's great. So give us here then some practical needs that you have, because we have prayers and givers, and just out of your heart, what are some practical needs, and then we're going to do some prayer needs.
Sure. Practical needs. If you can find the picture of all the boys in the red shirts, this year we started a school. This was one of the issues we see in the community. 80% of the international boys between the ages, or between the fifth grade and the eighth grade, 80% of them, they fall so far behind in English that they basically give up on school. That of the 80%, 60% of them never finish school. And so for about 3 years, we've been praying about starting a school. We had someone who made a kind of a first donation to get us started. And then we started working with these boys. We did it last year for a semester. Saw them increase their test scores by about 34% on the standardized testing, which is a huge jump. But for us, that's quite honestly, that's so far not a concern. Our real concern is these are spiritual leaders. These are our next generation leaders. One of the boys in this picture, the kid in the back with the glasses, Keo, he himself has about 16 kids that he's led to Christ. He's got five generations of disciples, so his disciples have led other disciples to Christ, And that's much more the fruit that we're looking for. Even one of the boys in the picture, Lakapro, he wasn't a believer when the school started. Gave his life to Christ like the first day of class. He was healed. He was changed because of that. He now, in the last 6 weeks, already has a disciple of his own. There have been other boys that have given him prophetic words about his family. Mm-hmm. He was the first in his family to come to Christ, that he is going to lead his parents to Jesus, and that's what he's praying for. And the guy in the back with the giant beard, Xavier, is discipling him and working with the family to reach the family. Mm-hmm. That's what the school's about. So that's a major thing.
There's some needs there.
Some funding. You guys have sent some funds to help us get started. Yep. And so we've got about 3/4 of the budget raised, got to kind of raise the last percentage. The other maybe practical need is just, we this last week we found out we lost kind of our major donor. So we've just got some personal stuff we've
got to raise. For the school or for the whole team?
It's for ourselves. For the school, we kind of have separate finances for the school and for ourselves.
Excellent. Great. Prayer-wise, what can we pray for that, obviously, but what else would you lay out?
Probably the most significant two that I can think of right now. One I would say is the as we step into this new region of the city. That's I think a major one for God to guide and direct that. We need to have godly men that are involved in that. We've got some incredible godly girls, and they're doing a fantastic job. But we need some godly men that are really going to help in leading that. And we just commissioned off kind of the second part of that. One is the new part of the city in Houston, but two, we're also helping to launch a team in Portland, Oregon that's doing the same thing there.
Do we have that picture, Dina? Portland, Oregon. I've got the team leader here. I think there's
nine of them. Yeah.
Nine that are gonna head to Portland in the next week or so to begin to reach an area in that city that's a third or a half the size of Sharpstown, but it's the same kind of deal.
It's the same people groups.
Yeah.
Houston's about 7 million people. Portland's 1.2.
Yeah. So there's Justin and
Kristen,
good friends with Jonathan and Lizzie. They spend a lot of time with them. Love these guys, and they're leading a very young team into a big mission.
Yeah.
So
we want. And we're actually sending two of our kind of our best leaders from our team to go with them, and we're kind of coaching them in this process. I think they're going to do a fantastic job, but that also means we're losing kind of some of our top tier leadership in doing so. And so we want to pray for them, but then also that God would show us how He's kind of restructuring what we're doing.
That's good. We're going to have a time of prayer for them and for us and all that here as we end. But before we do that really quick, so you're a white Oklahoma boy, right?
That's right.
That's what you are. And you've lived in mid-America. That's where most of us are living. We're not in the inner city. We're going to pray for you. We're going to give. We're going to just support you guys. We love it. As I said, Nicole, we got your back. We're with you. But can you exhort us for a moment? You know what I mean? Are you the only people that can be on mission? You know what I mean? How do we do this? Could you say something to us just to encourage our hearts to keep doing mission where we are?
Yeah. You know, honestly, this is, I've said this before at other churches, but this is sincerely what's in my heart. God called us to go there and to do that. That's not where He called everybody. I mean, He was very specific and very clear, even to where He gave, my son was 6 at the time when we left. He gave him a prophetic word correcting me, telling me we had to go do this, basically.
Wow.
And so this was something that He directed us in. It's not for everybody. He does have you where you are for a purpose. And so even as you're I don't know if it's El Dorado or El Dorado.
El Dorado is fine.
El Dorado.
City of Gold, whatever you want to say.
Okay, City of Gold. As you guys are here, or as you're in Wichita, wherever you are, start there. It doesn't have to be some dramatic mission field somewhere else. God has a purpose and a mission for you where you are. And if He takes you somewhere else, that's great. But start with being faithful where you are. Honestly, in my heart of hearts, this stuff that we're doing is the same stuff on a different level with different people groups that I was doing when I was working construction in Indiana. And so if you want to end up seeing God move in your life in a more significant way, just start where you are. Start with the things that He has before you, and don't be afraid that that's where He has you. Because as you're faithful in being there, you know, Jonathan's story is a great story. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to go for it.
That's
what I find happens so much with us. We know we don't have the answers. We're just willing to be obedient. And if you'll be obedient and act in faith where you are, God will meet you there, and He'll overcome anything that you feel like is an insecurity in yourself that you can't overcome.
That's awesome. So let's. I wanted him, LJ, to pray over us. Nicole and kids, if you could come on up about now. Could we all stand, if you don't mind? Let's all stand. I would love for you to pray over us to be able to on mission here. One of the words that was in my heart is it would be a divine transaction here, that we could get some stuff from you and you'd get some stuff from us.
Amen.
And so there's something on you that's ready to risk and go and minister. And I just pray a prayer over us. And I pray that you all would be alert this morning. And know that when we pray, we're not just doing a churchy kind of thing. Something happens in the spirit realm when you pray in the name of Jesus. And especially someone that's invested like this. Not that God hears LJ more than the rest of us, but he's at the heart of something that he's given his life toward. And so I don't want to miss the opportunity of him praying into us that we might be accelerated in our neighborhoods and in the nations to be on mission. So as he prays, really receive and agree, if you would, in your heart. Brother, just pray for us, if you would.
Father, the concept that comes to mind is just an overwhelming passion for your name to be exalted.
Yes.
And I pray for this group of people, Lord, that they would take you into places that others are unwilling and unable to go because they have an overwhelming passion for you to be exalted.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that that would start in their own hearts, that there would be this growing, intense love and desire for the Father heart of God.
Yes.
And as that grows, that it would just naturally spill out into their everyday lives.
Yes.
And Lord, they would find themselves in circumstances where you have already gone before them, where you are there, and where they don't even have to have the answers. They just know the King, because the King knows all things. And Lord, I pray that their circumstances would not dictate what they do or how they view themselves, but that they would find themselves as missionaries in central Kansas or wherever you may take them, that they would be intentional and purposeful about that. And Lord, that you would already be doing the work in the lives of those you want them to work with. Lord, I pray that they would have antennas to know what the Holy Spirit is guiding them in.
Yes.
And they would not be afraid of those things, but they would know that this is a calling from you, and that they, as children of the King, have such an anointing from you that they can overcome any obstacle.
Lord.
And Lord, that they would grab hold of that when the times are tough or when there is unknowns that are before them, that they would see you, Jesus, and they would exalt you in their life, and consequently others would come to the cross.
Yeah.
Lord, we bless your name. We bless your people. We pray that you would show them what the next things are for them.
Yes.
And Lord, as these fires are started in the middle of these cities, Lord, we pray that they would reach not just here, but they would spill out into all of the central United States.
Yes.
Lord, our heart's desire, and what I feel like Sam and I both agree on wholeheartedly, is we want to see not just this country reached, we want to see the world reached.
Yes.
And that's going to take us doing our job, and then commissioning and sending others to go and do what you've called and asked them to. I pray for them to be abundant in their relationship with you, and that what flows out of that is relationships with others that would love you as their King.
Amen.
It's in your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. If you could remain standing, if I could get elders and wives come down here really quick, if you can, Stuart and Susie come, and Plainview people, would you come help me really quick if you guys would walk down here? Do you have anything to say to us or anything to add? I know, I just caught you off guard. Yeah, as he's doing that, because I wanted two things. How many have been saved? How many have come to know Jesus down there, about, rounds about?
A couple hundred.
Great.
Yeah, I would be comfortable saying at least 200 at this point.
So 200 have come to know Jesus. Isn't that great? And they're not just the ones leading them to Jesus. They're disciples, right? What's the percentage of that, of other people leading people to Jesus?
Most of that has not been us, quite honestly. That's 99% of that has been our team. I'm basically working with our team, coaching our team as they're doing the work amongst them.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We got a lot to go. 50,000. But anything? Come on up here, guys. You want to come up here in the middle? We're going to lay hands on you and bless you. And we just want to pray over these guys. I'm sorry, I got a lot of people up here, but we just want to lay hands on you guys. And pray with us, if you would, everyone. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your love for the nations. Thank you for your love for the people, every person on planet Earth. We thank you for your pursuit. And we thank you that you then have answered the prayer that's been prayed by your command thousands of times through church history. Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. We pray you do that and mark our hearts again this morning here in this place. And we stand among some who have been thrusted into a harvest field. And we pray for fresh anointing, fresh provision, fresh clarity. Lord, I pray for their times with you alone, Jesus. Bless their love for you alone. Their personal time. Bless the marriage. Bless the family and the children. And Lord, we just pray for anointing for the sake of your glory. We always pray. May we all decrease and you increase. May we all decrease and you increase, Lord. And as they humbly embrace, you could just tell the Spirit on LJ and his family. They're humble people who are ready to risk it all, and we just love those. And so bless them, bless them, bless them. I pray for financial provision of everything they need, that Lord, there be no lack in Jesus' name. And I pray for the days that are good, thank you for them, and for the days that are low and they're getting hit, protect their hearts. Protect and release encouragement. Remove a spirit of despair and give them a garment of praise. Thank you for these guys. Thank you that you shot gospel arrows into the heart of that and are starting gospel fires. We pray for all their disciples. Bless them, fill them, let them multiply, and let the nations be one in Sharpstown. Lord, we love you, and this is all for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We love you guys. Bless you, bless you.